Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. No, we don't have a new host. I'm just under the weather, but we soldier on anyway. Tonight is episode 416. We will be talking wrestling news, what little there is. And we will get a live in-person recap of AEW Dynamite in Winnipeg. Yeah, that didn't work. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and the Winnipegger himself, Jarrett Aubrey. And fellas, it's got to be better than me, but how the hell are you?
Well, outside of the apocalyptic rain going on outside right now, things are looking pretty good. So we'll get to talk about a pretty interesting and eventful episode of Dynamite.
Well, Josh, you're under the weather. I got into a car accident. I was going to say, geez, car accidents and rain and weather and live wrestling, oh my.
Yes. But at least you're here to tell the tale, and that's the most important thing.
Indeed.
So, we had Dynamite in Winnipeg, but before we can get to that, the only real news item was that it was yet reported again today that Minnesota is no longer considered the front runner for WrestleMania 41. Most believe it to be in Vegas, but nothing is official until it's announced. So somebody could always swoop in at the last minute with a better proposal, and money is usually king in these types of negotiations. Triple H said at the Backlash kickoff show that the announcement will be happening very soon. So it'll be interesting to see where it is and when it is, because Nick Khan seems to be very against cold weather climates on the East Coast, even though Minnesota is not on the East Coast and it's an indoor stadium. But this will be interesting to see where and when. Are we going to get a May WrestleMania?
Yeah, so they were talking Minnesota, or what was the other location you said?
Las Vegas.
Yeah. I'm probably leaning towards Vegas, and I think I mentioned that last week, too.
Well, I mean, Vegas is Vegas, right? And with WWE being a master of the spectacle, I'm sure they can do an amazing job in Vegas. I'm kind of irked about this, because I can drive to Minneapolis. It's not that far away. I'm kind of looking forward to it being there. I could actually probably attend my first WrestleMania, although I could probably get to Vegas fairly cheap, but I'm assuming that the event's going to be huge and expensive in Vegas. So yeah, maybe a less chance of going, but damn, get it back to Minnie. That stadium's gorgeous, and I'm sure they would have an amazing show there.
I think I said it last time that if you stay out of the strip joints and stay out of the casinos, Vegas is actually a very cheap vacation, because why do people go to Vegas? The strip joints and the casinos.
I lost my ass in Vegas, and then I tapped that ass. I mean, what?
The problem with that, Seth, is I like to play poker, and Vegas is a place where, geez, imagine that, casinos and poker. So, yeah. I mean, if you do well, it can be a cheap trip, but sometimes you don't always do well. That's why they call it gambling, folks.
Where's Jared? I thought he had a ticket. It's on the green felt inside. He kind of lost it, and then he lost it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I could go to Minnesota, too, and I was actually rooting for Minnesota, because I'll be like, it's going to be quite a while, closer to like 2030 before the Bears stadium is built. And if I want to go sooner, Minnesota is like the best option, unless they bring it to Indianapolis or something. But who wants to go to Indianapolis?
That's a great call, Josh.
All right. Well, we did have Dynamite, and we did have a live in-person perspective. And to take it away and to save my voice, I will turn things over to Jarrett.
Thanks, Josh. And, you've been doing a fantastic job of hosting the show. And it's been a long time since I've led anything. So, thanks for the last second. You know,
I figured if I told you earlier, you might not show up.
I'll do what I can, folks. I can't promise anything spectacular, but here and we go.
I'll chime in. I'm just not leading the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I'll do it Josh style. I'll just kind of run through the highlights as, you know, you've got it noted here and as I remember things. And if you want to just jump in, folks, jump in and pitch in and we'll see what happens. But yeah, that place was not quite packed. There's still a few empty seats. The upper deck was not open for the show, so it was the lower and mid bowl available for tickets. So it was probably about 95% full, so just short of a sellout. Pretty loud crowd. My seats were amazing. We were just about seven rows back in center, you know, facing the hard cam. So we were just sitting, just elevated slightly over above the floor. So it was magnificent. There were premium seats. I'd totally do it again. I usually like being ringside, you know, first couple of rows, but this is a great alternative if you get a chance to be in those kind of seats. Unobstructed views for the most part, great pictures, all that stuff. But here we go. Cold open with Tony Khan sitting there with the neck brace, still selling the beatdown that he got, you know, announcing that, you know, he's going to try and run the show remotely, and we get interrupted. We get technical difficulties. The screen starts, you know, flashing and zapping in and out and static and sounds and all this stuff. And
Uncle Howdy, you get that traditional technical difficulties color grid, but it still has the AEW logo on it.
Yeah. The 80s, you know, vertical stripes. And yeah, absolutely.
It was Uncle Howdy.
Wait, wrong promotion.
Oh, my bad.
And we discover that the Young Bucks are in the truck and they're causing some shenanigans. And it's like, oh, there's a clause in their contract that should Tony not be able to run the show, that as EVPs, they're now in charge. So they're going to cause more shenanigans throughout the night. But we get to go live to ringside and we get the new champion, Swerve Strickland, comes out. Crowd goes nuts. I still hate his theme music. It's so repetitive. But hey, give Swerve his props for who he is. Comes out and cuts a promo, gets interrupted by Christian Cage. And this is, so Christian Cage got a big pop as a heel. But you know, he's a Canadian boy, Toronto guy, did a lot of wrestling in Winnipeg in his early career. So he's a favorite in Winnipeg. He comes out and interrupts and talks about how he's coming after the title. He's coming after Swerve because of how he beat down his son, so he needs to get revenge for that. And not only that, but they were tag partners a year ago and Swerve lost and, you know, caused him embarrassment and things like this. But in the meantime, he's only gone on to win the world championships. So now Christian's going to, you know, hit him where it hurts and take his title. Epic beatdown happening here. It was pretty good segment to open the show. We follow that up with a TNT title match. Adam Copeland, another Canadian boy, formerly Edge, taking on Buddy Matthews. And man, I haven't seen Buddy Matthews a lot recently, and my first reaction was, damn, this dude is jacked, looks fantastic. And on top of that, he's got some pretty amazing athleticism. He looked really good in the ring today from a live perspective, last night. Live, and a pretty solid match. I think it maybe dragged on a little too long, maybe about the little past the halfway mark. They had some excessive rest spots, and perhaps maybe Adam's showing some age here. I don't know, or if it was overselling, but it seemed like it just kind of put a big down point in the middle of the match. We got Adam doing Adam things and winning this match, and we had a really cool bit afterwards where I think we're seeing the corruption of Edge and how he got misted the week before, where he goes to, you know, do a concerto on Buddy. And as he's going to do so, the lights drop. And then as they come back up, who do we see in the ring? Malachi Black is there and he's urging him on to crack Buddy with a chair. And not only is Malachi urging him on, but Buddy as well is like, come on, hit me. And, you know, Adam does the pause and, oh, what should I do? He's holding the chair high over the rar, and we got the lights out again. And so that was an interesting segment. So I like how they're progressing this. The slow corruption is happening. I know, Seth, I think you talked about that before, after it happened with the Mist, that those people get corrupted, and it's kind of happening here. So a nice follow-up. And then we got Samoa Joe and it's like Isaiah Cassidy. So I went in my Samoa Joe t-shirt. So of course we're all going nuts for Joe. I got to see the amazing Nope spot live. I can't remember if he was doing that in TNA or not. I think he was. The last time I saw Joe live was in Grand Forks, North Dakota at a house show many, many, many moons ago, back in I think that was still like the weekly pay-per-view days. The Nope spot is great. And the other big thing that I caught in this one was fairly early on, after Isaiah took Joe's towel and was mocking him with it. And like, you're just going to piss Joe off.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's like, you are asking to get your clock cleaned.
Right? Like, why would you do that to Joe? And that whip into the ropes, that high press into the air, and the squeal that Isaiah let out. I hope you guys caught it on TV.
Oh, I heard it, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. It was loud. It was fantastic. It was hilarious. You know, Joe goes on to win, big time muscle buster. Pretty solid outing for Joe, like squash match. Like, hey, you just lost your title, so here's a squash. Go enjoy yourself. Next, we had Orange Cassidy come out to cut a promo about, you know, all his friends fighting each other, and he's had enough. And there was a young lady in front of us on the floor who had a fantastic sign that, you know, Orange Cassidy has no friends. I thought that was great. You know, with my love for Orange Cassidy. That. Sorry, Seth.
I said I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of tuned out. To be honest, it was Orange Cassidy, so I didn't.
Yeah, you're not the biggest Orange Cassidy fan. You've made that pretty clear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. backstage, we have the Elite, and I'm actually going to ask you guys to pitch in here because I'm actually having trouble remembering this segment. So if you want to talk about it, go ahead.
Yeah, because he said what he meant. He wanted to do what was best, and of course, by that he means that getting rid of Tony. So it was kind of more in the repackaging of Jack Perry into, you know, that he's embraced the scapegoat, and I think he's grown his beard out a little bit as well too. So it's continuing with that. And I'm assuming it's, they're effectively writing Tony off, and that there'll be some sort of, I don't know if there'll be somebody trying to seek revenge or whatever, or if it'll just be maybe Jack Perry will just be Kenny's first feud back when he makes it back into the ring. But yeah, I think it was just to keep Jack Perry out there.
All right. Well, following this, we had an FTW title match, hometown boy, Chris Jericho. And I'm not even going to, Katsuyori. Is that how you say his name? Shibata.
Yeah. You can just say Shibata. I think everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like we had a lot of people go, oh, well, holy shit, it's Shibata, which was great. So I texted you guys and like, you know, Jericho looks terrible. And it wasn't just the build and the look, like it was just the in-ring. The lion salt, he barely made it around. Like you could saw his head was really close to the canvas. And I thought he was going to drop himself on his head, but he got around pretty much. Kick Shibata right in the junk when he did that. It was pretty poorly done. And just like the motions in the ring, like he wasn't stepping into his chops too much. Like the mobility seemed really bad. So like, I don't know if there's something going on or whether he's just finally old or what it was. I just didn't think he looked great. But that being said, considering this thing just turned essentially into a chop fest, and a hardcore match, the chops, oh dear Lord, I don't know how they came across on TV, but I got the feeling they were either somehow, I don't know if Aubrey had a mic on her or something, but these things, like you heard these things on the speakers, maybe they were even trying to pump in some noise, I don't know, but it sounded amazing. Half of those chops were just especially some of the Shibata ones, half of, they were just like, they just echoed out through the arena. And if you saw Jericho's chest afterwards, it was just like, it was just red. It's just completely red. They beat the hell out of each other with the chops, which was fantastic. The hockey pucks were, or the Jets pucks were a great, a touch.
That came across so well on TV, because you're expecting it to be tacks or glass or something, and it's hockey pucks.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't know much about hockey other than pucks are hard. You know, so the whole thing of Shibata taking a hockey puck to the face, that was supposed to be a big ouch spot.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not, I mean, they're rubber, they're vulcanized rubber, but I mean, yeah, they hurt.
I certainly wouldn't want one to bounce off my face.
Well, think about when, you know, guys take shots, right? They hurt, they sting.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't traveling 99 miles an hour.
No, it wasn't, but I mean, they're not little puffballs either.
Yeah. All I'll add about Shibata is he's known for his strikes. So that was one of those things I'm pretty sure they both knew they were going to do, was to turn it into a chop fest. And that's probably why. So Jericho get the red chest and everybody could look at what's going on and say, holy crap, the Shibata guy can chop.
Yeah. Yeah. That was nuts. The chops were nuts. We all enjoyed the heck out of it. And I mean, just, geez, I'm just trying to, yeah, Jericho gets a win with the, that wasn't a sharpshooter, was it?
Big Bill chokeslam Shibata through a table, I believe.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, see, this whole car thing, folks, like, I'm actually kind of, that's funny. I was trying to remember letters in the phonetic alphabet today, trying to, you know, report stuff, and I was just drawing blanks on it. So thanks for helping me fill in the details, because I'm not going to remember little bits and pieces.
Yeah, because that was kind of a decent-sized detail.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Bill with the big boot to give Jericho the win. Backstage afterwards, we got Willow, we got Chris Statlander, we've got Stokely there getting Willow pumped up for a title defense tonight on, or well, later that night on Rampage. Following that, Claudio Castagnoli and Brian Cage, two big, meaty, beefy men doing big, meaty, beefy men things.
Boss fight, yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't just, you know, a brawl and then beating the crap out of each other. Like, they actually wrestled pretty well, too. Like, Brian Cage, for a big man, can go and can do things in the ring, too. But, you know, some of those uppercuts and the power moves, the suplexes, the top rope stuff, and in the corners was pretty phenomenal to watch. We got a swing, that which was great. Yeah, fantastic to watch all around. This is kind of where the night for me kind of picked up. The Samoa Joe stuff was cool. A lot of segments and stuff. But this is where it kind of felt like it really started ramping up, was with this match. We got the backstage segment with Rocky Romero saying that, you know, he's not taking sides anymore. Like, he's done with all the drama around everybody, and he's going out on his own, and he's going to have a match later as well. And then we get to probably the surprise of the night, I guess, Serena Deeb and Mariah May. And I didn't know what to expect for this. I had actually kind of low expectations because, I don't know, I haven't watched a lot of...
They didn't really feature Mariah May very well in her previous matches. I mean, she didn't look bad, but she just didn't look good. I mean, if you didn't, I never really watched much Stardom, so I can't really comment on her Stardom work. But I didn't see anything that made me think, holy crap, so some really good wrestling there. This was probably one of the best matches she had.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun to watch. Way better than I expected it to be. And I think a lot of people, I could hear people talking around me. It's like, wow, geez, like, look at Mariah May go. And Serena D was great too. This was fantastic. Like I said, way better than I ever expected it was going to be. So that was a nice treat. We got Serena with the win there at the end with the submission. And we get Adam Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly. And great line here from Copeland as they're talking, and Colorado's kind of looking at his title, and he's like, you know, eyes up here, kid. You know,
that was pretty good. Yeah, like he's a chick that some guy's looking at her boobs or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So that's, you know, setting up some future things there. And finally, in kind of the main segment, and I was surprised it was starting with, you know, 5 minutes left. But I guess, you know, we're having a special live edition of Rampage. So we did some bleed over coming up into Rampage. But Kenny Omega returns, kind of promo, talking about his diverticulitis and the effects, and, you know, how he was 24 hours from death with the way he was feeling, and essentially, you know, hyping things up about how he was missing things and getting wrestling withdrawals, and, you know, people talking about how him, you know, the best in the world, and he wasn't getting mentioned anymore, that he was getting forgotten. And he's like, you know, this is what I'm here to do. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, if it's 1%, I'm going to come back. Even I got to, even if I'm wearing a bag, you know, I got to come back. So that, that brought out the bads, that brought out the elite. And, geez, Kenny took a little bit of a beating, including a chair shot to the diverticulitis, which was like, whoops. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that kind of shocked us all. We didn't think they'd actually go there, but they went there. Looked pretty good.
I've only had colitis, not diverticulitis. So what I had was microscopic compared to what he's probably going through. And I winced when I saw that.
Yeah. And I mean, this is what, you know, this is what Brock had that ended his UFC career. And we thought that, you know, he was done for good too. It's like, this is some pretty serious stuff. So I, you know, with the real life versus the, you know, the in character blended in here, I don't know what his true medical situation is. Like, if he's taking shots, it probably can't be as bad as we think it is, but who knows. But they did a great job of the beat down. He gets back into, you know, he gets stretched out, taken close to the ambulance, where he gets attacked and dumped off the ambulance again. So nice showing by the bads here, and setting up some future angles. And that's kind of what this whole show actually felt like. It's like, compared to last year when they showed up, was the first time AEW was ever here, and it felt huge, and it felt like a momentous occasion, and it was big and special and all that. This felt more like a regular show. However, I thought they did a really good job of taking things and actually progressing storylines, which is, wait, AEW is giving me a reason to watch next week? It's like, okay, this is different. So we enjoyed it from that perspective. Good live stuff. We get into, well, right into Rampage after, and I'm going to try and remember whatever happened here. We had Romero's match, and now I'm drawing a blank about who he was against. That was Kyle O'Reilly, right?
Yeah. That was the match. And because they have history in New Japan, and they went over it in the broadcast that they had history in being best of Super Juniors, and they're probably the Super Juniors tag. Actually, I think the very first New Japan match I watched was Rocky Romero in a four-way tag match, and it was Red Dragon was one of the opponents. So yeah, they have a long history, and I expected it to be a good match when I heard it was happening. But, you know, like I said, I think Rocky's a little underrated, at least as far as his work in the States.
Awesome. Yeah. And I commented on this to you guys in text too, that the, like, the technical bits of this match were really, really good. The countering, the, you know, the roll throughs into the counters and the reversals, and really technically very good. It was really enjoyable to watch. And I see Josh is putting some notes here for me so I can follow along. So this match, we had Jay White and Dante Martin, and Jay White's another guy that my first time seeing him live. We're kind of special to see him live. You know, I've never been kind of a big fan of his, but now that I've seen him live, it's like, yeah, damn, this guy can go live. This is really good. Yeah. Josh,
there's a reason I put him in my at the top heel pick for when we did our our own draft last year.
Right. Yeah. Josh, in your notes, you've added Takeshita and Lightning. We didn't get that live. That must have been like a taped add-on or something, because that did not happen at the event last night. But to close out the show, we got the Manitoba Massacre. I love how they called this. For the TBS Championship, Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue And again, this is a match that I thought was way better than I thought it had any right to be, or for expectations. They beat the crap out of each other, and they did some interesting things. And, you know, they brawled outside, like right in front of us. So I got some good shots of that. And I got a little bit of a new respect here for Willow Nightingale. I didn't really know what to expect with her coming in and taking the title and what we were going to get. And it's like, oh, we got some good stuff. And kind of the moment of the night was there's a table set up on the outside. And then next thing you know, Sky Blue goes out and under the ring and pulls out the sheet of plywood with the barbed wire all over it. And Blue had her up on, in a fireman's carry, and Will gets out of it, just deadlifts her and like sit out power bombs her through the barbed wire table. And it's like, oh dear Lord. Yeah, that was pretty sick. Everybody lost their minds when we saw that live. Gets the pinfall, retains a title, and that was a pretty fantastic way. Everybody was up on their feet and cheering this one through the match. And yeah, it was pretty slick. Fun match.
I might have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, definitely. I got this whole thing on coming up on the DVR just to rewatch it. I always do that, live show. I get to see the TV part of it. Looking forward to rewatching that again. But yeah, fun night overall, folks. Some really, really good stuff. Some story progression. Some nice moments. Kind of what you're not going to see on TV is after the main event. Willow cuts a promo. Actually, I don't think it's going to be on TV, but this is the extended portion anyway. Willow cuts a promo. And then, they start, Orange Cassidy comes out and is like, hey, you've got a friend here. And, I think there's other people that appreciate what you do. And then Edge came out and Edge cut a promo about how, he's developed a relationship with Willow and what he sees in her. And, he kind of compared her, I see, my wife in you and that kind of stuff. And then Edge cuts a promo about, how he hasn't performed here in 31 years, which I thought was crazy. Actually, no, not in 31 years. He first got here 31 years ago and told a story with the guys I used to work with. Tony Condello is a legendary promoter out of Winnipeg and used to do all the WWF stuff and into WWE. And used to run a thing called the Northern Tour, and they would drive up into the farthest reaches of Northern Manitoba, where they only have roads in the winter because the ice and snow allows the pack down and over the water, and they can drive places that you normally don't drive. But guys like Edge and Christian and Chris Jericho and Rhino were all part of that kind of stuff. Test back in the day kind of started a lot of guys' careers. So kind of a nice throwback moment there from Edge. And you see, they're really happy to be back. We're probably never going to see him back again. I don't know. Maybe so good to see him live again. And yeah. Good stuff. Glad I was there.
There is a bit of breaking news that dropped mid the show here.
Ooh, here we
Jarrett,
go.
You will love this.
Ooh.
AEW's male roster has decreased by one. Oh, it has gone from 117 to 116, at least on my count. Ethan Page, All Ego Ethan Page, is no longer with AEW or Ring of Honor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He'd been a regular on Ring of Honor before disappearing in recent months, but he's increased his independent bookings, and today he was taken off the roster page.
Well, if he can do better out on the independents, get more bookings, get more work, hey, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, good look to him. My understanding is he's actually one of like the legit tough guys. Like, he's not a guy you would want to take liberties with. I always thought he had, I haven't seen like some of his best, I guess some of his best stuff is probably in TNA, but I liked with how he did in the AEW. I mean, I don't recall him having a bad match.
Wasn't he tag partners with Josh Alexander in TNA? I think that's what he was doing.
I think so, yeah.
Any thoughts on Dynamite, Seth, before I chime in?
Very good show overall. I mean, I know the way it started and the way it ended, at least as far as Dynamite heading into Rampage, was kind of WWE-ish. because it has to do with the authority figure angle that I've been railing on, that I've been tired of. But I mean, if you're going to do something like that, that's how you do it. And it's clear they're putting Kenny out there. I don't know if he's going to be an authority figure. They hinted it because he said he's also an EVP. But if you want to build sympathy for a guy, that's how you do it. You build it up like he's risking his career coming back, and then you have the bad guys beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, I forgot that part, Seth. That's a great call. And that Kenny said, you know, while I may not be able to wrestle right now, it's like, you know, the balance of power is shifting because, you know, I'm also an EVP. So yeah, he hinted that there's going to be a power struggle with the Bucks.
They're going to come out next week and say, we took out the only other EVP. We run the show now. There's nothing anybody can do to stop us. Wrestling has more than one royal family. <Dun-na-na-na-na-na-na>. Oh, wait. Yeah, I thought the show was interesting. As far as Buddy Matthews, his knee strikes are amazing.
Yep.
And he's been underrated for a long ass time. His nickname in WWE when he was with NXT was the worst or the best hidden secret. I forget which one it was, but yeah, if he sticks in a storyline, he's just amazing in the ring. I think Isaiah Cassidy got too much offense against Samoa Joe. That's just me personally. I think after losing the title, Joe should just kill him.
But I did like the walk away, and he just splatted on the floor. I mean, yeah. Now, granted, I think what worked in his favor is that he is very slim, very skinny, so he's probably built to take a bump like that better. But still, I winced when I saw that.
Yeah, I think Joe needs a nope shirt. And maybe quotes around it and just says nope.
Yeah. Props to the crowd too, right? Because when he takes Joe's towel, and that's when we started, oh, Joe's going to kill you.
Yeah. One thing with the Orange Cassidy thing, when Trent came out and Orange ran up there to go after him, they were pulled apart, and then out comes Don Callis for like 30 seconds and whisper something in Orange's ear, and they walk off together. And I thought that was very interesting. I'm curious to see if they follow up on that.
And the heat he got just for that little bit there. I mean, that was pretty amazing. At least how it came off on TV.
Yeah. I'm like the one guy cheering just to see Don Callis.
I know him. Toronto. Oh, wait, wrong city.
Oh, you know, and I missed when Christian was cutting his promo there about Swerve. He worked in a fantastic line about how the Jets shit the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And got eliminated. Classic. So, yeah. Heat. Yeah.
That was amazing. Timely reference.
Yep.
If you can't see it, you're going to see it soon. But Chris Statlander's turning on Willow.
Yeah,
it's been obvious. Smell it a mile away.
Yeah, and
she was apologizing way too much.
Yeah, and how about Stokely's line about, aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah, right. it was your own actions. I set aside. Mariah May, her finisher is the May Day. Yesterday was May 1st. She probably should have won, but that's neither here nor there. And the whole thing with Kenny Omega and the diverticulitis and the chair shot to the midsection just made me think that WWE dropped the ball. They should have had Finn Balor beat Brock at the Rumble for the title, because he was throwing him into the corner of the announce desk and hitting him with a coup de grace into the, I mean, if it was just as serious, they missed an opportunity to have Finn win, because that there's your excuse right there.
Yeah.
But that's just the cynic in me. All right. Any final thoughts from anyone about anything?
No, I think we covered the whole thing.
All right.
One thing real quick, Josh, sorry, is just being at the live event. And of course, people mentioned you know, oh, it's great to be in Winnipeg, or, you know, Winnipeg, you suck, whatever it is. And I can't hear somebody say the local city without thinking about The Rock. So thank you very much.
Where did you travel here from? Toronto.
I'm like, he said Winnipeg.
That's where I live. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'm going to put a tweet out about the backlog of episodes being published because of my plague that I've acquired. But tomorrow we're going to be back at it again because we have to make predictions for Saturday's lunchtime PLE Backlash. So we will be talking SmackDown and Backlash predictions tomorrow night. And even if I'm tied to the bed from the sickness, I will drag my carcass out to the microphone and we will get it done.
That's dedication, folks.
I might not sound like me, but I'll be here. So until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at The Bacon Rev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax. And you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.